tonight on the Game On podcast. Adelaide Crows unveil a new logo, but not everyone is happy about it. And the cricket, South Australia on fire in the one-day format, now top of the table. And Pakistan take it up to the Aussies in the one-day international, especially in the last two matches. All right, let's do this. Welcome to the Game On podcast. My name's Pete once again, joined in the studio here with Malcolm. And tonight, something a little bit different, our first full live stream. So jump online, anybody that's watching. Give us some comments out there of...
We're not in 7-second delay either, by the way.
No, not at all. So please, absolutely jump on board. Mate, I have to ask, what was your good for the weekend or high for the weekend?
South Australia winning again yesterday. Three times in a row leaving South Australian games after winning. I did say to the person on the way out, I can't remember that too many times over the years. So it was a good day again.
Mate, I was a little bit surprised to see you turn up today, considering South Australia top of the table at the moment.
No, I've got keeping the lid on it, you know, one game at a time.
Yes.
Yeah, all that shit.
All the superlatives.
Shield game at Karen Rolton this weekend. That's the big one for me.
We'll definitely be covering that as we go along. My good for the weekend was obviously the... McSweeney being named in the team, and we're going to cover that a little bit more. And I think that's a fantastic achievement.
It is,
and as well.
So we'll go over the stat. Look, if I could add a dollar for every person who asked me when's the last time three South Australians have played together in a Test match, it is Rodney Hogg, Wayne Phillips, and David Hooks in West Indies in 1984.
Yes, mate, you've stolen my thunder, and I probably owe you a dollar because I was going to ask you exactly the same thing. All right, mate, let's get into Around the Grounds.
Around the Grounds.
All right, as per usual, we're going to talk the AFL, the AFLW, and some basketball. But to kick us off, let's talk about the cricket, mate. The opening spot has finally been decided with Nathan McSweeney taking up that spot. Your thoughts on that, mate?
Oh, look, I'm glad they've just rewarded form. He has been the premier player in terms of outside the test side over the first, first few games of the season, the start of the year. And he had a very good year last year too. So it's not just coming in off the run of this form. He's a good player.
Yes.
He's compact. He's got an organised technique. He's generally lets the ball go pretty well outside the off stump. He's composed. I will say you wait till the cameraman sees his girlfriend. I reckon they'll have the camera on her 28 hours for the net out of the 24.
Yes.
He does all right there.
Yes.
Look, you can argue whether him and Khawaja are going to be a good mix because it's not like you've got the stroke maker like a Warner previously together.
Yep.
So it's a wait and see on that. But I think in the end he was the correct. I think he's the correct selection. Look, Harris just hasn't quite done enough. Bancroft is likewise, and there's still questions on both these on both their techniques.
Yep.
I think Nathan's got a better technique, which can last the distance than those two.
Were you surprised that he was? I know, you know, we're all talking about the opening position, but were you surprised that they slotted him there to start with, or is this
not really? Because let's be honest, if you're batting South Australia, number three for South Australia over the last few years, well, you're virtually coming in to face the new ball pretty consistently. So I'm out of that. Khawaja wasn't playing as an opener. Khawaja was a middle order player, and then got forced. There wasn't a spot when Travis came back in after he missed a game with COVID. The spot it was available at the top, and he's ended up staying there. There's plenty of times over the years. Yep. I think out of that, there's probably a bit much made of it. Yeah, I do think opening is a specialist spot, but I think Nathan will adjust.
Okay, so let's just say Nathan holds his spot. Obviously, we hope that happens.
Yep.
They give him a good run at it. Khawaja obviously looking to potentially step down at some stage because, you know, age and father time's going to catch up with him a little bit. Who's that next logical choice? Because
I think Constance. Constance was very close to playing now. I think they've decided, maybe not quite ready yet, but I think he is still the next logical bit. And because, as I mentioned last week or whatever the week before, always big raps on him as a junior as well, and he's flowed through the every age group, every level.
Yep.
He's dominated, and he showed his class in the second innings of the Australia A game there as well.
Yep. Constance obviously then goes back, plays in the Australia A team, then also a couple of one days, and got out a little bit cheaply on a few occasions.
Yeah.
Is it a case of the pressure catching up with the young man?
I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to see if he's a bit like Henry Hunt, more suited to longer form cricket than one day. So we'll just wait and see on that one. And look, I'm not really worried about the one day failure there.
Yep.
About a three or four.
Yep.
So be it.
It is what it is.
Yep.
We'll move on quickly to the Australia A v India A game. Australia take the game by 6 wickets and 7 wickets respectively. What are your thoughts on what Australia are trying to build for the next generation? Because this is the concern that you've got a lot of players that are going to almost fall out of that Australian team all in one hit.
I think there's question marks on the batting. I think the bowling is still... Buckingham, it's actually a bit of South Australians. I'm a fan of Fergus O'Neill from Victoria. I think he's got a bit to offer.
Yep.
I think Bartlett from Queensland still got a bit, provided he stays on the park. Injury there is a bit of a worry.
Yep.
Spencer Johnson's the one. If Spencer Johnson, we can get him fit and going.
Yes.
I think he's got the potential to be an absolute superstar.
Yep.
Now, his bowling action is very pure, so it's hopefully... his body just adjusts and gets its strength, which quite often happens. Bowlers break down early and then have a, like Cummings did.
Yes.
You know, and now he's.
Is that, all that. Is so that,
hopefully that
is
comes.
Is that sort of brought about by the way the Sheffield Shield season has started? Wouldn't you prefer to have a couple of maybe one days to build into it and then the Sheffield Shield, or would you prefer the other way?
Yeah, I'm happy with the block of Shield games, and then you're doing that. You're bowling your 15 to 20 overs in the day to adjust to be bowling 15 to 20 overs in Test cricket. So, that's how I,
Do you find that the schedule this year has probably allowed that a little bit
I think the schedule, at least guys are going to go in that there's been the opportunity. Now, I admit, it's a new age. I get that. I'm older. It's maybe a bit old-fashioned. Look, I've got no problem with Travis Head missing a game for the birth of his child.
Yes.
I'm a bit bemused on maternity leave since. And he's going to go into that first test having not played a game this season at any level. I personally think that's crazy.
Yep.
I don't get that.
He sort of did that at the World Cup.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't he, where he had a chunk of time off as well? So he is proven.
Yeah, I know.
And remembering that
I'm a fan. I know, different strokes, different blokes. Yep. But I'm a fan of, I reckon, the longer form of the game.
Yep.
To bat in it. I reckon, one day he can come in and tee off and it comes off, the field's up, etc.
The technique
comes into a bit more at test level. And I'm a bit mystified by it personally.
No, that's okay. You did mention there, obviously, the first time that South Australian have had three representatives for quite some time. Could we get a fourth in there throughout the summer?
I don't think there's... If there's injuries in the bowling department...
This is where I'm leading there,
then it's a possibility.
Yep.
Yeah, if there's injuries. I am a Nathan McAndrew fan. I'm a Buckingham fan. I reckon at the bowling wise, there is a bit there to offer. If you've got I think Nathan McAndrew would be a good bowler in England.
Yes.
And that side of things, and so will Buck.
Yep.
He's got a side injury at the moment. I was with him on Saturday at West Torrens game. And interestingly, Travis Head was actually there on Saturday watch at the start with his other child in the playground. So I'm not having you go at Travis the person. I just find it a bit bizarre. And our thought process is different now. That's all.
It certainly is. As I was sort of trying to lead there, Cameron Green out for the series. Yep. Can they rely on the big three, or is there someone else that's going to get another opportunity? For me, it's probably Boland.
Yeah, Boland is
probably
still
the one.
Boland's still the one. He's been the bowler kept on reserve as well. It's probably not a... I think O'Neill is probably the one closest to the mark, who's probably knocked on the door the most consistently over the last couple of years. And that, again, I think he's probably the most likely.
Yep, fair call. What do we expect from India this summer, mate? Because it's been an interesting little exercise with the Australia A and look, India A.
They've got thrashed 3-0 by New Zealand over there. I would have thought there would have been some of the test players more race out. They'd want to play in these two warm-up games to have games in Australia. Now, Rahul did play on the weekend because I think Rohit misses the first test for personal reasons. I'm not sure why.
Yep.
So I think
that's already been pre-planned, hasn't it?
Yeah. So I think there was one other player who did play and made runs too.
Yep.
Jihalo. I'm not sure how you pronounce his name.
No, that's okay.
Struggle on that one.
We've done that a few times where we do send our apologies for some of the pronunciations, but you know, India are at a crossroads, I suppose, as far as changing of the guard there. I would have expected a little bit more from their India A team.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Or is it a case of them getting used to the conditions a little bit, which is almost a little bit of a throwback to yesteryear where you would play two or three games to sort of get used to those conditions?
And I know Ian Chappell was always one of his points made. It's a harder adjustment to the ball bouncing up than keeping lower on Indian tracks. It's easier to go over and just adjust to that pretty quickly compared to the other way around. Both are adjustments.
Yep.
And you did. You did see guys nicking off that they were surprised that all of a sudden the ball had bounced a bit. So
is that part of the reason why we're starting in Perth?
Yeah. Well, I was actually normally it was Brisbane. Yeah, Brisbane has been for probably the last 20-odd years, and Australia had an invincible record in Brisbane. Warney loved bowling in Brisbane with the bounce as well. So, yeah, I don't think Perth is like it was. Perth's not the old-fashioned whacker. Now they're playing at Optus. There's a drop-in. I don't think it's got the same traditional and fire and brimstone of what the whacker was.
Yep. Should be interesting. Crowd-wise, what do we expect at Perth? Again, it's hard to say at the moment.
It is, and if there's ever a state who's under the pump to get a decent crowd in this test match and their future's on the line,
that's why I asked.
It's Western Australia. Yep. And if they don't realise that and don't support it in big numbers, I reckon they'll get, And you could see easily, you can have a case for playing two test matches in Melbourne out of the five purely on a Indian or Ashes tour, purely for crowd numbers and all that. Yep. So,
I know we don't like to get into state politics too much, but the Brisbane redevelopment, is a lot of the future of Australian cricket up in Brisbane based upon the potential building of a new stadium?
Sure, out of that, I still think the Gabba's, 30-odd thousand. It's still pretty reasonable and all that, but it is a bit tired, the Gabba. It does need a
facelift.
A facelift done. So, but I admit, surely if we're going to have the Olympics, there needs to be a new stadium. Yeah. I just don't get it. If you're going to bother to bid for it, you've got the Olympics.
Yep.
For goodness sake, build a new super-duper stadium.
But if you build it, they're going to come. And we've seen this time and time again with new stadiums that have come. And they're not moving that far away from the old one anyway. From a logistical point of view, it's not like you're travelling all the way out to the middle of nowhere. You're still in the heart of the city.
Yeah.
So
it's a bit weird.
It is going to be interesting, that's for sure. I did ask, what did you expect from India? What do we expect from Australia, conversely?
I think there's
because they're under the pump as well.
Oh, yeah, and there's big question marks over the Australian batting. Like the whole batting lineup is major question marks on every player, really, in the top six. Probably Carey at seven's the only established batter where there's no questions on him him at the moment.
Yeah, no.
And Inglis is a chance to come to the side as a batsman.
Yep.
Not as a keeper.
Yep. Well,
nor it should be.
No.
Yeah.
But he's a good backup keeper.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about it now. I was going to talk about it a little bit later, but Alex Carey getting struck there in the one day.
Yeah, it was a bit
nervous.
It was being there. Don't worry. We kept sitting there because we actually thought for a second he'd spat blood out, but it wasn't. So thank goodness. And then he was okay.
Yep. So did it just get him in the sort of the soft part of it, in between the neck and the shoulder?
They did the test straight away and all that. So And then he kept batting and hit and
went on
hit
with
the
it
ball
didn't
pretty
he?
Well as he always does.
Yep. C3 of them always hit the one in the middle.
He's a gun.
He absolutely. All right, let's move on to the Sheffield Shield, mate. South Australia take on New South Wales on November the 14th. You did mention it a little bit earlier there in our opening. Karen Alton Oval's going to get another run. You're a big fan of it for the sake that it's a little bit more intimate rather than the Adelaide Oval being lost in the wash.
It is. Look, I love cricket Adelaide Oval. Let's just say my post on Facebook might have opened a bit of a Pandora's box. Andrew Cappell is due for a meeting with the general manager of the SACA, and he's actually taken a screenshot and he's got all the comments there and that. And look, my real beef on it, as I made the point, it's not just the $10 to get in, it's $20 to park your car. And that has now prevented a lot of pensioners going. So for mental health reasons and all that, and people, a couple of people, only one person, said that, oh, public transport's free. Well, not everyone can get on a bus.
Yep.
And I'll be honest, it's hard enough getting my dad in a car.
Yes.
Let alone, there's no one in the world who can get him on the bus.
Yep.
And there's plenty of people in the same boat who really need to be virtually dropped outside the door. And then that's that 10-minute hobble to a seat.
Yep. That was going to be my point, is that at least with the footy, you dropped off pretty much right outside the stadium, whereas cricket, you don't get that opportunity unless it's a massive event.
Yeah, I'm just really disappointed there. They're just not seeing the whole picture. And interestingly enough, three players I've spoken to since said, good on you for taking that up, Malcolm. We feel pretty strongly about it as well.
Yep. So I
thought that was interesting.
Any crowd is better than no crowd, and it gives you that little bit of atmosphere. And they're looking for little positives, and if they can look up to a bay that has South Australian supporters in it, we're certainly going to be winning. Mate, congratulations on that. That's fantastic that somebody's taken up the cause a little bit.
Yeah.
Whether we get any results out of it, who knows, but at least the questions are definitely being
asked. Yeah, they're going to be asked.
Yep.
And, thank you to Andrew Cappell. He does listen to our podcast occasionally, so I will let him know he's got a mention on this one.
Absolutely, and maybe we might get him on at one stage to have a bit of a chat as well. That'd be absolutely fantastic. Yep. All right, mate, the first game of the season was against New South Wales. Ended in a draw. What do we expect this time round?
Oh, teams change over so much. It's just really hard to judge. Moses Henriques didn't play yesterday, nor did Patterson. I was a bit surprised at Patterson not playing. Moses Henriques not to play in the one day. I wonder if he's injured. So I haven't seen the sides yet.
Yep.
Trying to get hold of Shield sides. Good luck.
Yep. Fort Knox, they're locked down.
It's a bit weird.
Yep.
So hopefully it's been interesting to see their side. So wait and see.
Obviously tonight we're recording live and a little bit later than usual. So we were hoping to have some of that information at hand. But with the teams changing, obviously with national duties and bits and pieces like that, does this give South Australia a good opportunity? Because the one thing for me is that bowling stocks have risen without a standout bowler. They've all contributed in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, and that was the really pleasing part of the last Shield game, that all 11 contributed at some stage.
Yep.
Drew made 23 in both innings, got starts, got a ball which did kick a bit in the second inning, so he's a bit unlucky there when he was hitting them all right. So hopefully there's a big score for both Connor McInerney and Daniel Drew just around the corner.
Yep.
Tom Kelly's hitting him okay as well, so there's a bit there to work with. You know, the fact that we lose Nathan McSweeney, it'll be, and Alex Carey not playing, so it'll be very interesting to see. I think Jake Lehman will end up captaining again. Now,
you did mention this last week.
And I think that was part of why he kept in the side. So, I again, haven't seen the sides. I will try and find it.
Yep.
And that see if there is something. But trying to find that, as we said.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Who comes into that team, obviously, with Carey and McSweeney now out for national duties?
Yeah. Harry Nilsson will keep.
Yep.
So he comes in, that's just a one-for-one for Carey. I think the rest of the batting will stay the same as last Shield game.
Yep.
Because Nathan McSweeney wasn't playing either. So I think it'll be McSweeney, Hunt, Drew at three, Kelly or Lehman at four and five.
Yep.
and whether they play another batter at six or whether Harry Nielsen bats six and Liam Scott then bats seven, we'll wait and see on that one.
What do you see the Karen Rolton pitch being like? It has been relatively flat and fast. Could they go with the extra bowler?
Yeah, I think at Karen Rolton they probably will.
If it was at Adelaide Oval, extra batsman?
Maybe, but Menenti and Pope both did the job last game. So all of a sudden they're playing five bowlers. It was Scott, who's a bit of both, as an all-round, sort of worked. And Menenti is a bit of both as well. Yep. So, yeah.
And Menenti's on fire at the moment.
Well, that's the best I've seen him bowl last year. Yes. Game. His bowling hasn't been good enough previously. Yes. And that was easily his best bowling. So hopefully that's a sign.
And his fielding's been pretty sharp too. That run out
he is a genuine good slipper. He's probably the best slip fielder currently in the country.
Yep. Yep. So. Good catch for Pope last week and a good run out in the one dayer as well, which was fantastic. Yeah. Coming up against Western Australia on November the 23rd, it's back to the Shield, obviously. We've been sort of chopping and changing between the one dayer and the Shield, but another important game in the context of South Australia's season.
No, massive, massive. Hopefully we can set ourselves up to be in the top two at Christmas.
Yep.
That's the other point. Occasionally we've started all right and then we've fallen away after Christmas, or we've started terribly and finished okay. Whether we can do both is to actually have a good whole season.
Western Australia have been the benchmark for a couple of seasons, or maybe a few more than a couple of seasons, but they're in a little bit of a patch at the moment that things have moved and changed a little bit.
Yeah, they're still up there with a the Shield at the moment. They're one day as they'd be disappointed because they lost today to Victoria.
Yes.
So that puts them out of it now. They can't make the final from there.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's actually unusual for WA to have bombed in a one day comp, but they're still around the mark in the Shield.
They've
comp.
Certainly been the benchmark for quite some time. The women's, mate, unfortunately, the strikers striking out at the moment.
Yeah, and chasing 191. I haven't seen what the score is currently with us batting. I did call into the Paynham Tavern on the way and we were watching, and I tell you what, strikers had a disease and it wasn't catching.
Yep.
Yes, they dropped five, what I saw. Yep. So, yes.
Very unusual for the strikers. Yeah. They've been the benchmark, a bit like Western Australia.
Couple of years.
Been the benchmark for the last couple of years. Yep. So,
had an average year.
Absolutely. All right, mate, let's move on to local cricket. Premier One, we did talk about this just before we went on air, that are now into their two-day comps, and day one has now been completed.
Yeah, so Tea Tree Gully at stump 7 for 313 against Port Adelaide. For Tea Tree Gully, that shared around, Kyle Brazel, 76. Joe Gadding's good player, 56, and Jerez Wadia, 81.
Yes.
For those, in terms of the next game, Kensington are cruising. Boglenelg out for 170. Popey did get four for. Jake Lehman was 89, not out at stump. So he won't bat this week.
Yes.
It'll be a replacement player. I tell you what, if I was that replacement player and I got to 11, I'd be signalling for the 100 out of that. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so Jake's well and truly set that. He got 89 off 75 balls. So he set Kensington up well and truly there for the win.
Yep.
And Kensington undefeated at this stage, as are West Torrens, but Sturt 7 for 322 against West Torrens. Whether they bat on for a while, possibly. Mm-hmm. Look, out of that, I was there. Harry Matthias made 103. Did meet his grandfather. Did manage to sell a book there too, mate.
Yep.
And Brad Davis here to save us, made 87. They had a big partnership and have set stirred up there. So that game, Kelvin Smith comes back into the West Torrens side this week. Didn't play last week. Same for Adelaide Uni. Made 285 against Adelaide, of which Cameron Edwards, got run out last game for 98, I think, made 117. So he's had a couple of great games, Cam. So
do you think that the way the Shield season has started, and also here in South Australia, we've got a great mix of players now throughout all those local clubs?
I think we're getting a little bit more depth than what there's been for a while.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of alluding to.
Yeah, at least there's a bit there. Now, in Div 2, East Torrens batted a million miles an hour, really, and we're all out for 281. And the Sacra under-90s, who've started the year a lot better than last year.
Yep, and you did say they had a little bit of depth,
yeah,
but
a
also
little bit more experience.
Wiser heads on their shoulders.
Yeah, I think Matty Leray, who's a pretty mature head, and he's, you know, he's also a very good footballer for Centrals. He's got the choice to make with cricket or footy.
Yep.
Believe me, both sports want him.
Yes.
Thomas Brown's out, but Kane Half Penny, Warren's lad 16 for Cooper Luke made 93, and Lewis Evans, son of Ash and Kate, Paynham connection there, made 78. So that game's probably evenly poised, and that so that actually might be worthwhile. Prospect have won, but easily the dominating performance of the week was for Prospect Kyle Scrimgeour, 10.1 overs, two maidens, a casual 9 for 27.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, Luke Hagee took the first wicket, so he just cleaned up with the following 9. Prospect have always won,
you'd be dirty, wouldn't you?
So
he wanted the full set.
Yeah, but at least the guy had already taken the first one.
That's true.
So and Southern District's 2 for 60, chasing 205 from Woodville. So that game's probably under the balance as well. They did get a couple of wickets just before stumps, Woodville. So for Woodville, Lewis Green made 69 and Will Foley 79. So out of that. Yep.
Absolutely fantastic. And also in the Premier 2, obviously some teams obviously playing their 2 game.
Yeah, that was Div 1
that
and
Div
2,
yep.
So that's all the A-grade games.
No, just double-checking on that one there. All right, mate, let's take a quick break. Let's see what's coming up. The AFLW, Adelaide and North Melbourne go head-to-head in a tight contest. Port Adelaide relive some of that Alberton magic, defeating Richmond. And in the basketball, the 36ers show some party time skills.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Looking to buy or sell your home anywhere in Adelaide, from the hills to the sea? Meet Gary Creeves, your dedicated local agent from Owens Castley Real Estate. With unparalleled knowledge of Adelaide's housing market and a commitment to exceptional service, Gary ensures a smooth and stress-free experience for all your real estate needs. Trust the expert, trust Gary Creeves at Owens Castley Real Estate. Your next dream home awaits. Contact Gary today on 0422 071 317, or on email garyk@ocre.com.au. And for more listings, please visit owenscassily.com.au. Make it happen.
I've managed to find the New South Wales Shield squad.
Ah, well played. Before we do that, thank you to our sponsors there.
Yes.
Gary Creeves, if you're looking for a house or looking for anything in real estate, he's your man.
Yeah, and I'll catch up with Gaz next Tuesday. There's a night at University Cricket Club. Uni are playing Kensington in a 2020 game, but it's celebrating the life of his dad, Gunnar, now on Tuesday night. So I intend to get along to that to catch up with Creevesy. And while I won't be having one of the Gunnar beers, I'll certainly be partaking in the frivolity and just, celebrating the life of Gunnar.
Absolutely, yeah. And send our best to him and his family as well. All right, mate, before we move on.
Guy, you know through bowls, I know very well through cricket.
Yes.
Harry Faulkner, lost his wife, Vic. The funeral was last Thursday, and huge thoughts to Harry and Faulkner and V. Fixed order, etc., and Haley and the families there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Never a nice time, no matter what happens. But, yeah, our thoughts are there with Harry as well. All right, mate, before we move on to the AFLW and the AFL at the moment, you've got some squad news for the cricket.
Yeah, so looking at the New South Wales side, Jackson Bird, Ollie Davies, Jack Edwards, Chris Green, Ryan, and Moses Henrique. He's back captaining Sam Constance, Nick Madison, Jack Nisbet. He's got a bit of pace, Nisbet. Mm-hmm. Curtis Patterson, Josh Phillippe will keep, and Tanvir Sangha, the leggy. So, yeah, it's a pretty reasonable New South Wales side there with a fair bit of depth and a fair bit of batting depth there. So, yeah, bit of our work cut out there. Should be a good game.
Should be a good game. I'm assuming you're going to be attending.
Yes, I will be at Carrumrolt. I won't be there Thursday, but I reckon I'll get there on Friday.
Right. Yep. Anybody needing a book, make sure they come up and see you for one, but I'm pretty sure you probably pretty much will canvass that crowd
a few times. I'll have another crack.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? All right, mate, let's move on to the AFL. AFL opening round and gather round has been announced. Some spicy encounters for the lineup.
Yeah, obviously really happy to have two games at Nord again. So looking forward to that. Looking forward to being involved.
Were you surprised that Nord retained two games?
No.
Nope.
No. There's a lot of – if you've actually seen a bit of the paperwork, what's required to host the games and that a lot of people don't realise the area you're required to have for media and corporate. So the Greater Western Stand is totally media and corporate. Mm-hmm. Now, I think it's a bit bizarre to look up Pat Nord Oval, which is sold out, and there's gaps in the Western Stand. I think it's ridiculous in that way.
Yep.
Let's remember, though, that's an AFL fixture, totally out of the hands of Nord
and the SNFL. Yep.
Very much so, just because it's us Nord people working at it.
Yep.
In that way, but it's an AFL game.
Yep.
And it's out of your control totally.
Were you surprised that Brisbane are back at the parade, considering they are the reigning premiers?
Yeah, a little bit. I think it's interesting that both Brisbane and St Kilda are programmed again at Nord. Maybe that might have a bit to do with both clubs, the praise they gave Nord. We thought we would have had Hawthorn back, because Hawthorn after the first year.
Yep.
Hopefully, I'm not speaking out of school here, but I know that they gave massive praise for Nord at Nord. And requested to play at Nord again. So we actually thought Hawthorn would have been scheduled.
Yep.
So, but I think that shows that there's big ticks being given to Nord. And okay, the Food and Wine Festival worked fantastically on the Sunday.
Well, that was a smart move.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, it was. Brilliant thinking by, the government and everyone involved, and also Nord City Council. Huge praise there as well to Robert Breer and his team there. But, yeah, Mally and that involvement there was just smart.
Yep.
And, yeah, I know that there was the thought, oh, I could get moved to another ground, have one and one. But it's also the same – and again, I think this goes weird. I think it goes way over the top. Mm-hmm. Like in the outer at Nord, there's another fence, sort of another barrier added, which I think personally makes no sense whatsoever.
Yep.
But you remember – you're actually, the crowd, maximum crowd is just on 10,000. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been in Nord where there's been 20,000.
Yeah, so have I. Yep.
And so it's just how it's changed. So you'd be looking at Glenelg or Unley or Prospect. Prospect maybe a little bit more.
Yep.
But at Glenelg or Unley, you'd probably only be allowed to have 5,000 in there.
Yep.
And
with the way that everything needs to be
set up and configured. Yep. And that, and you would have that whole new grandstand at Unley would be the corporate and media bit. So there's there's not much public seating. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been lucky in the 2 years so far on the weather, but I think they've also said, thinking of Nord, it does have the most undercover public seating of any suburban ground in the country.
Yep.
So I think that's another reason that they're balancing on weather.
Absolutely fair.
And all that. Yep. So, yeah.
Could the northern end near the scoreboard there, could they put temporary stands up to get more people seated?
No, I don't think there's enough room. There really isn't.
No, no, no. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah,
there is a gap down that end.
Yeah,
Could they potentially leverage it to put another temporary stand?
No, we put more food facilities in there last year. That was needed. So there was a hot dog van. There was a coffee van in there as well.
Yep.
There's the temporary toilets, which then get added as well.
Yep. So you start to run out of space very quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Spicy encounter between Port Adelaide and Hawthorn, mate. What are your thoughts considering it looks like Kenny Hinckley got stitched up with his fine
massively.
And now the broadcasters have come out and said this is the game we want on a Sunday night?
Yeah, isn't it ironic that you were naughty, we'll fine you, but geez, we'll use it to promote and all that. It is so hypocritical.
Yep.
So,
what are your thoughts on the blockbuster game, or sorry, the broadcasters making the draw almost, which is, I think...
You've got to remember how much money they put in. They bankroll the game.
Yep.
You've got to remember, if you actually get the whole AFL balance sheet, the actual attendance money, admittance money, is actually a really small figure compared to their overall budget. It's a multi-billion dollar industry of which the TV rights are paying for it. So, it's the box and dice. If that's where you're getting the dollars from, they've got to have a big say in it.
Absolutely. Does Kenny Hinckley feel a little bit hard done by because of what happened? Or does he just shrug it up and he's got bigger fish to fry?
I think he's been around the traps. Hey, look, Ken knows it. Yes, he shouldn't have said it, but yes, a mount was made out of a molehill. I don't think deep down he'd be a bit dark about that, but overall, let's get on with it.
Fair enough. The other big one was the opening round fixture was once again thrown out there. Some interesting games that are going to be played there, especially up on the eastern seaboard or the northern eastern seaboard.
My big beef on that is those teams for mine must play each other the next week. I thought Gold Coast last year to have those two games at home, and it happened to be Adelaide, but I would have said it whatever side had a huge advantage going to their second game.
Yes.
Playing a team
away. Yep.
Playing their first game. Yep. Now, they've got to do a crossover so those teams play each other. Otherwise, it's just such a ridiculous advantage.
The full fixture, I believe, is coming out tomorrow. We'll see how that pans out. We might have some hot topics to talk about next week on that one there. Last one on the AFL, mate. Thursday night games are back on the agenda. Looks like we'll get Thursday nights for a fair chunk of the season, but actually the entire season.
Yeah, look, they work. And again, the broadcasting rights have got, looked at the figures there. That's where they get their ratings. Guess what? Of course it's going to be each week.
Yep.
And look, personally, makes the weekend feels like the weekend starts a day earlier. Yeah, okay, it's a little bit of a pain to get there, whatever, when you're here, but it's once off. You know, I think people go a bit too precious. Like, I've got to laugh at Adelaide people carrying on about Gather Round, complaining that it's a Thursday night game. Well, hang on, it's in South Australia.
Mm.
It was going to be in Sydney, so why not just thank Peter Malinauskas and the South Australia that it's here?
Absolutely.
It's a hell of a lot easier to get Adelaide Oval on a Thursday night than it is to get the SCG.
Yep.
So pull your head in other words.
Obviously, we talked about Nord Oval being used. I think that's also in part the proximity to the city.
It's the eateries on the parade. It's the fact that you can get from Nord to Adelaide Oval. And look, the Barossa.
Well, there, that's where I was leading, yeah.
Yeah, the Barossa there. You remember, this is also a big tourism push. It's also get Adelaide, showcase the Barossa. Try and get those people, and you are going to get even more of a flood of interstate people over here.
Mm-hmm.
Try and get people to come back and all that. So it's virtually an SA tourism spend, and I think it's a wise investment. Now, maybe up in the Mount Barker at the moment, let's just say a couple of people running it and all that, there's got to be a hell of a lot more brain used, and to have Ace Cricket Club and that not playing there because, and understandably, they're not playing there.
Yes.
We're getting charged $70 an hour on a high rate.
Yep.
That is insane.
Yep.
So that is 10 odd hours on a Saturday.
Yep.
So your every week fee
is about $700.
Yep. Like, good luck.
I did hear a figure of what they were paying. It was $66 a weekend.
Yeah, somewhere else.
They could be there for for whatever they want.
Yeah.
I agree with you. You've certainly brought up a point that I was going to bring up, was that the Mount Barker not being used, not only not for the gather round, but not really being used at all from a community point of view. And
Nowhere near as much as it should be.
They built this infrastructure for that very reason, and it's...
It's a fantastic oval. It's the same size as the G. The turf is brilliant.
Yep.
And it's not being used to its full capacity due to poor administration.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I did hear an interview, hopefully that's going to be sorted out sooner rather than later, but it absolutely has to, doesn't it?
It's just crazy it's dragged on this long. I think it's only been finally come out because of public backlash, and it's been a bit of embarrassment being exposed so much. And really dumb and poor administration.
Do we see the Barossa showcasing their facilities up there for the next couple of years? Or does it move to, say, the McLaren Vale next and trying to get a few more people down that way?
No, I think there'll be a couple of year investment at least for what they've done for up there, and it'll be a couple of years of hammering, you know, of trying to get people over.
No, totally good.
So I think that's smart. And to spend that money economically and all that, I think it needs to be used for a couple of years at least.
Yeah, fair enough. Totally agree. One last thing on the AFL, the gather round, Adelaide playing Geelong on Thursday night.
Yep.
Early predictions on that one there.
I think it should be a good game. You're way too early. I'm not worried about that. And I just think at the moment that it was the logical bit on the thing. You can argue, should Port have been programmed last? Then there was a comment, well, at least that's adding the spice to the last game. So I can see that. Yep. Again.
That's why I asked whether is Geelong the right fit for Adelaide as far as that goes.
But again, then people complaining on that time slot. As I said, it's exactly the same thing to the Crows supporters. Just appreciate the fact that the round's in Adelaide and go with it. It's the best week of footy for the season. Adelaide actually comes alive. It's got the old Grand Prix feel when it first started. I'm far more of an SANFL man. You know that. You know, I make that very clear.
Yep.
But I love that week. Yep. It's just got a unique feel. And look,
everyone's happy to be there. Oh. That's the thing. It's, you know, it's not team v team. It's just everyone's enjoying the festival of football.
So obviously, when I'm doing the scoreboard and meet people and all that, there was a group of eight guys. They all barrack for a different team. They'd come over from WA.
Yep.
Kind of both games at Nord. They loved it at Nord. You know, I grabbed Michael Aishie and introduced him to him on the Sunday, and one of the guys, you've introduced me to a Hall of Famer, you know, and all that.
Yeah.
He was like a kid on a candy store.
Yep.
And Aishie, you know, went along and was great. And
absolutely.
The bit there, as I said, eight barrels for different sides, and trust me, purely getting those eight in, because geez, could they drink? Because they said, where's the best spot then on the second game to watch the game? And I said, right, go down to the Roger Woodcock end, the bar there. It's being run by the illustrious Wayne Walker. I'll let him know that you're coming down to keep one of the barrels free.
Yep.
And I messaged Wacker and let him know, keep a barrel free for these boys. Don't worry, they will make it worthwhile for you.
Yep.
Wacker said afterwards, geez, you weren't wrong there, Malcolm.
Well, hopefully they come back this year and enjoy the facilities once again.
They said that to me. They said, look forward to seeing you next year, mate, and all that. Yeah. Yep.
Fantastic. And that's how new friendships are formed, and that's what the Gather Round is all about. All right, we better move on to the AFLW. Adelaide go down in a very tight contest v North Melbourne.
A horrendous umpiring decision.
This is what I was going to get to. That rush behind was probably the one that you shook your head with.
Oh, mystifying. There are two players from North Melbourne in the close proximity. She's within the goal square. It's just I just shook my head in disbelief. I actually was at the tavern.
Yes.
And I'm going, what?
Yep.
It was just unreal. And it goes against everything what the laws explain as a maggot.
Yep.
And atrocious decision.
I totally agree. That changed the momentum of the game a little bit, didn't it?
It did. It was a really... Look, the fact is, there's few goals kicked in an AFLW game. To be gifted a goal is a huge thing. Like a men's game, it's a big decision, but there may be 35 goals kicked for the game.
Mm-hmm.
Or okay, it's not even with a lower scoring nowadays. There's still 25 to 30.
That's right.
It's not 7 till 12.
Yeah.
So it's a huge thing, a goal. And
Well, it's a bit like the 50-metre penalty, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a huge, huge disadvantage, that's for sure. I know hindsight's a wonderful thing, and ifs, buts and candy nuts do happen from time to time, but do you think Adelaide might have got them if that momentum hadn't quite changed, or do you still see North Melbourne as the league leaders,
I thought they looked more polished.
Yep.
And, you know, and I think too there, so when Port came in, they recruited a few from Adelaide, like Saint Foley, and that went back there, went there. Also, the recruiting bit in the last couple of years. So the Crows haven't got the cream of the talent like they did originally.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, there's some honest battlers playing. You know, Martin, it's the Lachie Murphy equivalent to some extent of the male side of things.
Yep.
And things like that. And look, again, my beef in terms of I want to see a bit more footy intel and a bit, I think by now, look, Sarah Allen's fantastic because she grew up with football.
Yep.
Her dad played in the first ever Central. I've said that.
But we are going to see that generation come through now, aren't we?
It will, but I think, and I am red hot on Ebony Marinoff on that she's played enough footy by now, there should be a bit more intel than still the mini league kid chase of chase ball, want ball all the time.
See ball, get ball. Yep.
And, okay, her kicking's improved slightly over time, but her footy nouse hasn't. And her disposal last week was terrible. It was 17% by foot. So, unfortunately, she actually set up North Melbourne's rebound a few times and all that.
Yep.
But it's more I want to see running to the correct spots. In terms of play, getting the ball to run to space, to create space, that's where there's still bees at a honeypot.
That's the next evolution,
the next bit. But I just think 9 years, there should be a bit better than that by now.
I think that gets down to the expansion being too quickly.
Yeah,
we've talked about it.
We have. And, okay, you're not expecting, say, the intel of a Jacob Kennelly with a block for Panos, you know, and the perfect timing of it, everything. You're not expecting that.
Yes.
But I just want to see a little bit more footy nous than what there is.
Yep. Speaking of Ebony Marinoff, congratulations, being voted as the league's best player for 2024.
Yeah, look, I love her commitment. She's in and under, gives you 150%.
Yep.
All big ticks on that, but it's not like, probably hasn't got the disposal or the skill of a Conti and a Brennan and people like that. Probably have more impact on the game.
Yep.
So I think we're still also concentrating on stats a bit too much instead of overall impact.
Yep. Can certainly trip a few people up those stats, that's for sure.
Yes.
Let's move on to Port Adelaide, mate. Port Adelaide keep their season alive with a very impressive win against Richmond, mate.
Kicked 11 goals, you know, there.
Big score. That's probably the most impressive part about it.
Yeah, no, they were pretty impressive from the bits I saw of that game. And Richmond did hit the front in the third quarter.
Yep.
And thought, oh, okay, they might, here they are. But they responded really quickly. We're just a bit too good. They probably got the rub of the green with a couple of umpiring decisions there. But they were too good overall. And congratulations to them. And there's got a lot of good youth there.
Yes.
I think they're closer to a premiership than what the Crows are at AFLW level.
There you go. You've heard it first, ladies and gentlemen. Malcolm tipping that Port Adelaide might get to the next premiership before Adelaide does.
Yeah, I think so. Just the youth,
The
pure youth they've got.
Yep.
I think there's a bit more upside than what there is at Adelaide. Adelaide still rely a lot on Chelsea Randall at 32.
Yep.
Things like that. I think Adelaide are more on the down and Porter on the up. So.
Absolutely. I did see, and I did read it in the paper, but again, sometimes the numbers can be a little bit inflated, but just over 5,000 at Albany Oval. That is fantastic for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, I think I made that point last week. I think Porter's supporters are still in the honeymoon, the excitement bit of it. Where for Adelaide, I reckon that's worn off a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sorry, too. I've got to have a crack. I can't work out. So, supposedly, the Crows playing this week on the in the afternoon.
Yes.
It's to get Fremantle back to Perth if they win early enough. Well, the forecast originally was 36. It's down. Okay, it has dropped to 32.
Yes.
But it's still a bit crazy. At least at Nord Oval, in terms of a spectator-wise, that it does have the undercover seating.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a bit mystified and amused by people carrying on about the parking because of the Velo 500.
Yes.
Well, there's still a fair bit of gap between Vic Park Racecourse and Nord Oval.
A little bit.
I don't think that will affect it as much as people are carrying on.
Getting from the other side of the city to the Nord Oval might be a little bit of a challenge.
All you're doing, saying if you're coming from down south, all you do is go up Green Hill Road and go along Portrush Road and then down the parade.
Yeah.
So you avoid Fullerton Road.
Yep.
That's all you have to do, really. And if you're coming in from the other side, well, so be it. You just avoid. So it's not.
No, but I think that may be where people are getting a little bit precious about it.
Just too precious. It's not like it affects you getting to work and can be a pain and all that. But again, it's not a huge amount of time. Again, I think exactly that. I think we're just too precious in general a bit. Yeah.
No, fair enough. All right, tips for this week's game, mate. Adelaide taking on Fremantle. Who's your tip on that one?
Yeah, I'll go for Adelaide to get over Freo.
No problem. And Hawthorn taking on Port Adelaide. What are your thoughts there, mate?
I'm going to go for Port to cause the upset. I just think they're on a roll, 7 in a row. Hawthorn also the new side in the finals, so it's not like they've got the benefit of a heap of finals experience and all that. So I'll go for Port in the upset there.
Absolutely. And, well, the only way Adelaide and Port Adelaide can now meet is in a grand final. Could we see a showdown grand final in the women's before we see the men's? I know it's a long way off, but...
Yeah, it's a possibility. I still think North Melbourne are well and truly the team.
What about Brisbane, mate? Where are Brisbane at? Because
I think North Melbourne will play Brisbane, personally. Yeah. And I said that before the start of the finals. I did have that as the GF, so we'll see you on that.
All right, mate. Let's take a very, very quick break. Coming up. Let's try that one again. Coming up this Friday, Scott Borlase, part 3. Really looking forward to that one. And Mary Cavey talking all things soccer. We haven't had Mary on for a while.
Yeah, we're due to get on
with the Adelaide United, that's for sure. Yep,
definitely.
You're listening to the Game On Podcast. We'll be right back after this short break.
Are dents and scratches putting a dent in your day? Introducing Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide, your trusted solution for automotive woes. With over 2 decades of expertise, Rogerstein Crash Repairs guarantees top-notch service, restoring your vehicle to its former glory in no time. From minor dings to major collisions, our skilled technicians handle it all with precision and care, using state-of-the-art equipment and techniques.
Rogerstein Crash Repairs saved my car. It looks brand new.
Fast, friendly and reliable. I wouldn't trust anyone else with my vehicle. Don't let accidents slow you down. Visit Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide at 14 Penner Avenue, Glynde, for quality service you can count on. And here's a special offer just for our listeners. Mention this podcast and receive a $100 discount on your repair. Rogerstein Crash Repairs Adelaide. Excellence in every repair.
Flashbacks. Flashbacks.
I'll be catching up with Craig Steen on Monday morning after a lady deciding to back into me while I was stationary. So, yes, at least Craig had a giggle at that.
Yeah.
Giving him some more work.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, mate, let's have a look at flashbacks for today. We thought we'd go back to game 5 of the one-day international against England here in Adelaide at a newly renovated or still being renovated Adelaide Oval, Sunday the 26th of January 2014. So we're going back a fair way. England's late collapse handed Australia a 5-run win at the final one-day international at the Adelaide Oval. Australia gave Australia a 4-1 win, series win, but England were cruising at 3 for 154 and then losing 6 for 54 in the game they should have won.
54, yeah. They did that a couple of times, actually, and there was once where Nasser Hussain sort of went to give Warnie a bit, and then Warnie got him out a couple of balls later and they fell away. And Nasser's quite funny. He bags the hell out of himself for doing that.
And they got Joe Root, which was probably the key to that innings, and was where the wicket was.
Mental belief back then of that Australian side got them over the line, where the doubt fell into England's side. Since they fell a bit, panic set in.
Yep.
So a lot of sport played above the ears.
Certainly is. All right, sit back, relax, and enjoy the next couple of minutes of that game.
Oh, that's four more. That's...
And as soon as we say that, Maxwell's gone. Oh, airborne, but through.
He's hit that well. George is out.
Oh, not with that line.
Oh, it's bowling. Bowling round his legs. Oh, has he got enough on it? He hasn't. That's out. Yes, it is.
He's got it over them. A wonderful stroke.
Oh, it's out. Yeah, had to be. Just like that. Just like that.
Joe Root on strike. James Faulkner, he gets that over the infield. 3 overs, none for 13. Cook almost hits the man at mid-wicket.
Oh, there's the reverse. It's in the air. Got him, has he? Oh, yes, he has. George Bailey, good catch. Oh, that's well hit. Really well hit. Maybe the first 6? Yes.
He can play, this man. He can seriously bat. Oh, Joe Root gets all of that. Hit that better. Slashed away for 4. Down he comes. Out he goes.
That's out. Would you believe it? Oh, that's out. You wouldn't believe it. Oh, that's out of the middle of the bat. 6. His bat was in the air and he plonked it in. This time. Middles it, yes he does. He'll take it from here. And Australia take these bowls. Lepara deep in his crease. Beaten. That foot lifted. Bats away. Edges out. They've done it. They've done it. Watson's delivered the 50th over beautifully.
Can you believe that? That is extraordinary. They were gone, Australia. When Morgan was batting with Joe Root, they were gone. And somehow they've found a way to win.
Liking this podcast? Please like, rate, and subscribe. Extra time. Big finish.
Oh, my extraordinary scenes there in that Australian game.
Yes.
I totally agree with you there that Australia's belief was just unbelievable back then. Let's start off with tennis, mate. Alex de Minaur finding it tough in the ATP Tour Finals. First going down to Jannik Sinner in the first match, and then Daniil Medvedev, who was basically gone for all money, time to retire, comes back in a blaze of glory to take out the Australian early this morning.
Yeah, he's just struggling, probably. We know he relies on effort more than straight out natural talent. He's not like he's got the gun serve or the, you know.
He's a grinder.
So he doesn't get the free points against the gun. So
yep.
He's more the worker and probably just a little fraction below the absolutely elite.
Yep. Oh, fair enough.
And that's not having a go.
No, not at all. Not at all. He's just got to find a way of developing a weapon and utilising it as best he can. In the doubles, still sees Ebden. I think he's playing with Bapani. And Purcell and Thompson still in with a very, very strong chance to take out the title. They've gone from strength to strength year.
They've had a huge year.
Exactly right. Not only in the doubles, but it's transferred into the singles which is exactly what you want. Absolutely. All right, let's move on to the NBA. The Cleveland Cavaliers are on a hot streak, starting the season at 12-0. To lead the season in the East. The Celtics, 9-3, and they're trying to catch them.
Yeah, just it's a big thing to pick up, though, isn't it?
It is. 12-0 to start the season.
Incredible start.
I do know that they took out Chicago, I think it was this morning or late yesterday, in impressive fashion, and that's where you want to be. Golden State, Phoenix Suns, and Oklahoma Thunder all having a start of 9 wins and 2 losses to their seasons in the West. So they're starting to see some separation there.
There is genuine separation.
Yeah, and same in the East as well with Boston and Cleveland basically 3 or 4 games ahead.
Yep.
It is early, so we'll touch base on that one a little bit more.
Interesting, there's probably a separation a bit earlier than normal.
Very early than normal, that's exactly right. And a couple of teams that are not normally renowned for that, so we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Let's talk soccer, mate. Your team, how's they going at the moment? Should we
bypass that one. We're looking at League One and leave it at that.
Okay. Yes. My team, Chelsea, played 11, 5 wins, 4 losses, 2 draws, sitting third of the table at the moment. And probably the big one is Manchester United slipping to 13th at the moment.
Man City falling away a little bit lately. And all of a sudden Liverpool are, you know, got an advantage. So, yeah. But Man City, probably the last, has been the one where we always thought that'll go down the wire out of those two to fight the championship.
Yep.
And, yeah, all of a sudden they've struggled the last few games.
Liverpool starting off the season with 9 wins. 9 wins, 1 draw, and 1 loss. Yeah. So, sorry, I might have got that one around the wrong way for Chelsea. It's 5 wins, 4 drawn, and 2 loss.
Yes.
Yeah. So that'd be why they're sitting second. Adelaide United, mate. Huge win against Western United, 2-1.
Yeah, it was, and good that they came from behind. Western United scored first and came behind. Look, they were lucky. There was a blatant penalty. It was probably was a crossover of the two worst decisions for the weekend.
Yes.
There was the AFL one against the Crows girls in a blatant penalty in that game, not paid.
Yep.
Did play, and Adelaide went down the other end and scored a goal.
Yep.
So, lucky there, but, good start. And they play Brisbane Roar this week and Brisbane are struggling. So good promising sign for Adelaide United.
Well, if you're looking for something to watch the AFL Women's, then switch over to the A-League there for the men, 4:30 at Allianz Stadium. And that leads us into our next event is Adelaide is alive once again with the Velo 500. This race will be in the city, obviously, this weekend. It's really created a bit of buzz and excitement around the place.
It does. And you've got pretty incredible. The two of them have said, right, gloves off in terms of Brock Feeney and Will Brown and go for it.
And they're teammates. So,
it's been glove off. It's all on the line. So, it should be a great weekend.
Absolutely. If you can't get along to the race itself, you can watch it on 7 Sport all weekend. I think you might need to set up 3 or 4 TVs all in the one go, mate. We'll see how we go.
I'll get the scoreboard organised and the parade, have everything going.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk lawn bowls very, very quickly. The Adelaide Pioneers are currently competing in the BPL 20 in Queensland, currently sitting in 10th with 6 wins, 8 losses. But a big couple of days coming up. It's sort of moving day over the next couple of days.
Okay.
And with the new teams in, it means that there's, top 12 at the moment. So a little bit of work to be done by the Adelaide Pioneers there, but best of luck.
Yep.
All right, let's move on to the SNFL. Some news. Nord officially have their man. Welcome to Jade Sheedy at the parade.
Yeah, look, it wasn't exactly a secret. It's a couple of weeks out that I was pretty confident it was going to be Jade.
Yep.
And where I like it, Jade's very well respected, and he admitted he got too intense. Now, I actually reckon that's really important because That's Jade Rawlings' weakness.
Yes.
So I actually reckon it's probably a real positive move there at the parade. So that, look, also I think Harry Boyd's going to get picked up.
Yep.
St Kilda.
Yep.
That'll be massive if that happens. And so that'll be a real struggle, losing the best player in the comp.
Yep.
But look, all the best to Harry.
Yep.
Yeah, look.
Absolutely.
He deserves an opportunity. Look, it's interesting because Harry's always been that he wasn't really that keen on it. He liked the work-life balance. Like, when he won the Gary Medal, he was at work at 8:30 at Hampstead the following day. Now, sorry, most people after winning the Marjorie, okay, Norb was still playing, so you're probably not
going to have as much as if you weren't.
But it's just general commitment and everything. Look, he's incredibly diligent. After a game, the first thing he is doing is researching his opponent the next week.
Yep.
So, look, love him as a bloke. Switched on, sees the whole picture.
Yep.
It's come down to help make the banner with the Nord cheer squad before the grand final. He's a caring quality, and I really can't emphasize that enough.
Yep.
Quality individual. And I just hope he gets what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if he gets in the system, I hope he gets a chance.
Yep.
And yeah.
Best of luck to Harry there. Let's just finish off. Should more night games or double headers be aimed for the SANFL just to sort of split some resources?
Yes and no. The point there, we've got to remember the average age of people who follow the SANFL is 70 plus.
Yep.
Now, guess what? Most of those don't like night. Yep. They don't like being out at night.
Fair enough.
I'd like to see if they're going to do that. They're going to do, and let's use Nord as the example.
Yep.
Or we can use, No, let's use Sturt as an example.
Okay.
We'll move it away from our Nord
bias. Nord. Yep.
So let's have Sturt and have, say, Unley and Glenunga Day there. So you organise, you invite the clubs to come up with a game at halftime. Don't care if it's mini league. Don't care if it's old folk. We'll put an area aside for you, all that. I'd like to see the SANFL clubs get a bit more
community involvement.
Yeah, community. And look, I think Sturt do it well in general because I like their idea. They play on Sunday. They have Sundays and try and make it a bit more family. So I think they're pretty smart there. But I just think overall, let's try and work out, use that as an example. Mm-hmm. Or, have family day and do things that I know when, and it was Woodville West Torrens' idea, and then the other sides copied it a bit. Woodville West Torrens, when they played Adelaide, was easily their biggest day of the year. What they do is have it junior day. Because there wasn't a reserves game, you could do a bit more.
Yep.
Now, I know the year when Nord did it, that the highest intake of the day of the canteen was at 12:30, which was in between after the mini league one game had finished and the next game was starting and all that. So it was worth it. I think we had 3,300 there that day. Well, Woodville West Torrens, I know they've got 6,000 or so at their days. Yeah, and that's huge crowd for Woodville West Torrens.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they do that really well. And I think the clubs have just got to get out there and market themselves a bit more. You know, like the old, you and I both went to them, the old pies and pasties nights. And that way, because at the moment, you do a kids coaching clinic. If there's 80 kids there, I'll tell you now, it's either none, one, or two kids wearing SANFL gear.
Yep.
Remarkable they tend to win prizes and that in my commitment there.
Mate, we might have to get a caravan there and do a broadcast from there and do a pie and pasty night. Try and get a sponsor for that.
Yeah, I just think they've just got it. I reckon they've got to market themselves better overall.
Fair enough. That's why I put it on the agenda.
Yep.
And I did have the broadcasting deal, but we already spoke about that a little bit earlier. Mate, we're going to leave the good, the bad, the ugly. I think we've covered most of it. Good to see some movement on your post there about the cricket. Obviously, the bad and the ugly is probably those umpiring decisions over the weekend. So we'll leave them where they are. Mate, I thank you for your time tonight. Once again, thank everybody out there. I believe that the live recording is still going, but there might have been a couple of little technical issues. We'll try and get the recording up ASAP. But
beautiful.
Thanks again, mate. And as per usual, we promise to do better. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, mate.
See you, mate.
In this crazy world we live in, we all need the distraction. Enjoying the show? Like, rate, and subscribe. Hook up and connect with us on social media @SportsCastSA. We'll see you next time on Game On.